It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. This past weekend, from a college football standpoint locally, not great. Missouri got trounced at Alabama. Illinois matched up against the number one team in the nation, Oregon. They lose by a wide margin as well. We're very happy to talk about that. And much, much more college football with the publisher of collegefootballnews.com. He is Pete Futak. You follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak. That's spelled F-I-U-T-A-K. He joins us right now. Pete, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Let me have a quick question for you. What percentage do you think in your world around there, and I'm from Chicago, so I'm very familiar with St. Louis, would it be Illinois and be Missouri? Like, what, where are the fan bases and allegiances lie in the St. Louis world that you run?
Yeah, if we do like 100%, if we're only counting people who are either Missouri or Illinois, I would say maybe 60-40 Missouri, maybe 65-35 Missouri, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it makes sense, because then you go to the other side of the state, obviously, once you get in, you know, the Kansas and Kansas State side of things. And, it's interesting to see how this is playing out, especially this year, you know, where you do have an Illinois team that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just waiting for basketball season in a lot of ways, but they have a team that, you know, right now it's still, even after the loss to Oregon, still in the thick of, you know, some pretty big things, and if they keep winning, all of a sudden, you know, this could be a pretty strong team under Brett Bielema, even though it's kind of nothing like it was when he first took over.
Yeah, and one other note on that, which I've been thinking about lately, because my boss, Tom Ackerman, who's the sports director here at KMOX, he is an Indiana grad, and I am a Kansas State grad, and it feels like locally there is more acceptance of him and Indiana, and kind of openly talking about them, a team that's out to the east, as opposed to me talking about Kansas State, a team out to the west. I don't know what it is, but it feels like people in St. Louis are maybe more accepting of teams further east than further west.
Well, they're also very accepting of teams that haven't beaten a team that will be a sure thing to go to a bowl game other than Nebraska. But okay, look, it's Indiana. You know, so like, dude, we can, you know, nickel and dime this all you want. You know, Indiana, even the years when they've had easy schedules, don't go, you know, 8-0. They don't be, but, and they're doing what you do. No, they have not played a tough schedule. They have not played anybody who's all that great. Actually, Michigan State might be their toughest game on the schedule so far. But then, okay, fine. If you're playing a mediocre schedule, what do you do against those teams? You drill them, and that's what they're doing. So it's not like they're just getting by. You know, that I think last week's game was particularly telling because you didn't have Curtis Rourke, who a phenomenal get for the program, and they still won with ease. So, okay, you're not playing the greatest of schedule. Well, go out there and drill everyone by 18 points or so, and that seems to be what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting when we get to college football playoff time, looking at that back end of the playoff, because there's undefeated teams like Indiana and Pitt. There's one loss teams, I think, like a Kansas State, like a Clemson, that are kind of all mixed in there together. And I think it's going to be really tough for the committee to make the decision. And some of those teams are going to lose and stuff's going to get figured out. But as it sits right now, I still think it's hard to kind of muddle through who's in that top group and who's not.
I'll start with this. You don't even go up to the bouncer and ask if you can get in if you don't have 10 wins. You know, unless it's something really crazy, you need not apply if you're not at least 10-2. And even that probably doesn't get it done in this kind of crazy year, because you're right. Things are going to start happening. Eventually, Miami's going to get exposed, and they're going to lose a game or two. Indiana, if you know, look, they might be, you know, if they beat Michigan, all of a sudden, you know, it's almost even a better thing for them if they somehow go 11-1 and don't quite get into the Big Ten championship because of tiebreakers and various other things. But yeah, I mean, really just keep on winning and hope for the best, because this year, of all crazy years, you know, everyone's, you know, we still have to wait to see, okay, BYU's been great. They had the really strange win over Kansas State. But Kansas State's really good. Kansas State's still probably the best team even with that loss. And Iowa State, let's see, they got some nasty games coming. So it is going to be an interesting sprint over this final 4 weeks.
A lot of the narrative here in St. Louis has been kind of comparing Missouri and Illinois, and Mizzou came into the season with very high expectations, and their two losses have been very, very one-sided, and their wins are not overly impressive. Whereas Illinois, their two losses have come to teams that are in all likelihood headed to the college football playoff. I think Illinois fans have a lot more reasons to be excited than Mizzou fans right now, but some of that obviously has to do with the expectations going into the season were so much higher for the Tigers.
Oh, sure. But you know what? It was a little bit of a mirage as well. I mean, think about last year with Mizzou, and I have family who live in Columbia, and they yell at me for this, but who'd you beat? You know, I mean, okay, yeah, Ohio State in the bowl game, but that wasn't the bowl game, and you know, they still couldn't get it going against that team with the defense was in place for the Buckeyes, and they were down to, you know, inexcusable, you're Ohio State, you should, yeah, still on scholarship, but still, they were down to, what, a third-string-ish quarterback who just wasn't prepared, but still, fine, whatever. But they had the two big tests, and they lost, they failed against Jaden Daniels, and they failed against Georgia, and that was it. All the other games were kind of, okay. And then this year, the team just, this is kind of what they are. They're very good, and it was always kind of the knock on Missouri for years, is they always had those, you know, the tale of two seasons kind of schedule where they would get off to the big start against and beat all the teams they were supposed to beat, and then came the games against the teams that were pretty good and everything flipped. Well, they started beating some of those, you know, okay teams. Florida's down, and some of the other teams that, you know, normally were powerhouses were a little bit down. But look, you are what your record says you are, and Mizzou's been, you know, kind of been able to rise up under Eli Drinkwitz, and so it's been a really good run. But you know, you have a couple guys hurt, kind of you weren't able to play do too much last week, but it's still a very good team. But certainly not, you know, just on the cusp of the college football playoff world.
This isn't a big problem, but it is somewhat of a problem. The sheer size of the SEC now, with all the schools that they've added, there are now scenarios where teams play conference schedules where you play some good teams but not great teams, and you can, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you can't go have a one-loss or two-loss season in the SEC and not really play anybody. Now, if luck kind of goes your way or goes against you, however you want to view it, you can go through a conference schedule in the SEC and not really, really get tested.
Saw this one coming from 10 miles away, Texas A&M, because look at what the Aggies had. You don't play Alabama. You don't play Georgia. You don't play Tennessee. I think they missed Ole Miss as well. And what do you got? You had two big games that are at home. You had LSU, which they just played at home. And you get Texas in the renewal of the rivalry game. And that's at the end of the regular season. And that's at home. So now, and this is part of the problem, is the argument against the college football playoff committee and how they're going to do things. I worked with them. I know the playoff committee people. I know how they roll. And at the end of the day, what they want more than anything else is just to be like, what can we justify? That's fair. You know, they're going to be like, what can we say? Hey, this team deserves a shot over this other team, as opposed to really diving too deep into it. So, look, if you're Texas A&M and you happen to be 10-2 or maybe 11-1, but you didn't play all the tough teams, well, all right, you're still going to be in over a team like, say, you know, Florida's probably an extreme example. But you look at Florida's schedule, it's like, yeesh, they get everybody. So you're right. Look at Indiana again. If Indiana had started a season playing, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon, we'd be talking a little different animal here with the Hoosiers right now. But, hey, you play who's on your schedule and you go from there.
We're talking with Pete Futak. He is the publisher at collegefootballnews.com. If money was not a part of it, and that's obviously a big if, but if money was not a part of it, would the Mizzou's and the Texases and the Oklahomas actually be in a better place in their former home because they would have a better shot of getting into the college football playoff as opposed to being judged against other top-tier teams in their conference?
That is absolutely the argument, because you're right. They're going to make a gajillion dollars more being in the SEC than they would have made in a Big 12, whatever thing's happening there. But the flip side of that is BYU and Iowa State might – supposed to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And as crazy as this is, at this point, look, Alabama, they lose again, they're out. They're not going to put in a 9-3 Alabama, even though they love Alabama in the college football playoff world. And that's kind of the problem now, is that, you know, like you just mentioned, there's the downside to having these larger conferences where, you know, you're right. There's a lot of teams that are going to be, you know, in the mix now because your schedule kind of worked out right. You you know, look at the Miami slate. They didn't really do much anything against anybody great so far, but hey, their schedule is going to be working out fine, and they have the record to prove it. And like you said, those schools that did flip and did move, well, now it's Oklahoma might not even go bowling. I mean, look at the rest of their schedule. You know, Oklahoma might not go to a bowl game. Florida State's already out of a bowl game. And so there's all these teams with big names that probably aren't going to get a 13th game just because their schedules just got tougher.
Mizzou had the stupid game against UMass a couple weeks ago, and a road game at UMass for an SEC team just should not happen. Are they going to make the decision in this league to go ahead and add another league game like they should?
I don't know. Yeah, here's the problem with that, and this goes back to different. Remember 2020, where you had the all-SEC versus SEC schedule, and what did we see? Even with the bowl game, after the bowl game, it was something crazy. Like, out of the 14 teams at the time, or 16 teams, whatever it was, only like five of them ended up with a winning record. You know, because Alabama, Texas A&M just ripped through everybody. And then all these teams had, you know, 5-7-ish, you know, 4-8-ish records. And that's kind of the problem where, all right, well, just let's say on the wrong day you lose to a Vanderbilt and you have a seventh conference game schedule. Well, it looks a lot better on your resume if you are 9-3 rather than 8-4. And so it's not fun for the South Carolinas, you know, and Kentuckys of the world to have to, you know, go 5-7 every year. Maybe, you know, you'll have the right year where, like we keep talking about, that the schedule just works out right. But for the most part, you know, you're pretty much not going to see those mid-level teams realistically be in the hunt for anything big again. So the reason why you don't have that extra conference game is your conference is hard enough. I always got my attitude towards this is, as long as you have one strong non-conference game, you're okay. And for most of these SEC teams, they've got an ACC rival, whether it's Florida playing Florida State, Georgia playing Georgia Tech, Kentucky playing Louisville, and so on.
We're talking with Pete Futag, just specifically about Illinois before we get you out of here. They're a two-loss team right now. They're two losses. We'll see if Penn State gets into the college football playoff. Obviously, Oregon is en route to that. Four games left, Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, Northwestern. Going to Rutgers is probably the toughest one left there. But what does it look like for Illinois if they find a way to finish out the regular season at 10-2?
Oh, first of all, get past Minnesota. I mean, that is a dangerous game for them just to get by. I think Minnesota's actually favored in this because they're playing well. I think Illinois wins, but that's a toss-up. So get through that. But like you said, that's not crazy. You know, if you look at that schedule, if they get out of this week alive, you know, Rutgers isn't that great. They can certainly be Michigan State, Northwestern. Eh. So, yeah, you're right. 10-2. You know, the problem with this is, where's their big giant win? Because the College Football Playoff Committee is going to love any team that has a huge win on schedule. They don't really the problem, at least traditionally, with the College Football Playoff Committee is that they do not credit the good loss against the great team. Mm-hmm. They like big giant wins. And Illinois has, you know, Michigan, okay, but Michigan might finish like 6-6, you know. So there's nothing really there. But certainly, if you go 10-2, again, 10-2 gets you in the discussion. If you're Illinois and you go 10-2, you're at least in the picture for that 11th or 12th spot.
You're right. I didn't realize that Minnesota opened as a 1.5 favorite. That's now up to 3. So money's coming in on Minnesota right now.
Exactly. I do think Illinois pulls this off. I think it's a little bit of a Minnesota mirage. But in that game, by the way, whoever, it's all turnover margin. It's just both those teams cannot handle turnover. So whoever turns the ball over wins that game.
Pete Futak is the publisher at collegefootballnews.com. That's collegefootballnews.com. Pete, I really enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully we can do it again in the future.
Absolutely, anytime. You have a great night.
Awesome. Very good. That's Pete Futak joining us on the program. Follow him on Twitter at Pete, FIUTAK, and check out collegefootballnews.com. We'll take a break. Have more in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.